Hello, everybody. This is Barry Feeker, Executive Director of the Topeka Rescue Mission. You're listening to Our Community, Our Mission on January the 9th, 2021. And
on what day?
January the 19th. January the 19th. So there's no do-overs here. It's the 9th. So that's just a catch trick there to see if you're paying attention.
Yeah. Well, and I always wonder, do I correct him on air?
Of course you do. A lot.
Yeah, I do.
Marion Crable, Director of Supportive Services. Good morning. We had a long meeting last night. It was a board meeting last night. It was a great board meeting.
It was a fabulous board meeting.
Casting the annual budget, making huge decisions about trusting God to supply so that we can do this whole year.
Absolutely. And, absolutely. It was a great meeting. And it not just because they agreed with the budget that we drew up or anything like
that.
But it didn't hurt.
It didn't hurt. No, that was good. That was all good.
But it was a good meeting and great to see the board so engaged.
And also reflecting on last year, which we're not quite adjusted that last year's over because it seems like we're still in last year.
Exactly.
But being able to reflect on all the incredible things that God did with Topeka Rescue Mission in spite of a global pandemic.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. And the opportunities that he brought to us, not just to focus on the pandemic, but the effects of the pandemic. And by the way, here's some resources and help my people. I mean, that's really what it felt like, is that we just had this incredible opportunity to be the hands and feet of God in the middle of what was chaos for all of us.
Yeah.
And it really kind of still is.
And kind of still is. And so if you're totally confused by now, it's not the 9th of January. It's the 19th of January. That is the truth. And and we're sticking with it.
And so we're going with that one.
It's the day before and a very important time in our nation, always. The day before inauguration and very challenging time in the whole country right now. Yeah, wow, for sure. That wow will be coming on here in just a minute.
Yeah.
He's really wanting to talk, and so we have a special guest today. Yeah. And so, Miriam, one of the things that everybody knows about that's listened to our community, our mission, knows about Topeka Rescue Mission is that we were called upon to try to address hunger in a greater way than we ever did before. And as of last week, there had been an equivalent between when we started in late May to last week, the equivalent of over 4 million meals that Topeka Rescue Mission helped facilitate through what's known as Operation Food Secure.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible?
And that's under your department. How does that feel?
It feels amazing. Uh-huh. It feels amazing. Yes. And not just because we did it,
right?
You know, because it is a huge undertaking. But think about what that actually means and how many people have been blessed in ways that we couldn't even imagine. You know, we hear stories all the time. We read one for the board last night that was just heart-wrenching in terms of what the impact was. Heart-wrenching in a fullness kind of way. You know, to just hear somebody who had so many needs that was then able to say that this was really about more than the food and really about relationship. Or the little boy in the trailer park that is talking about he just wishes everybody could have the food fairy come to them like they do to him when he's hungry, right? Yeah. You know, so this little boy, I mean, so it's been an incredibly powerful experience, and I feel incredibly blessed to even be an external part of it because, honestly, there are folks that are doing heavy lifting out there.
People doing some heavy lifting and 90 partners right now with different groups that represent hundreds of people, touching thousands of people.
Across multiple counties.
Multiple counties because of the availability of food.
Yes.
And one of the things that we have, if people aren't aware, we were able to partner with the USDA and through the Farmers to Families program. But there was a gap there, and we weren't sure it was going to happen again. And they've come around with round number five of these food products coming off of farms, coming to us so we can get them out to the people. But there was a gap here, and we thought it was going to end, but it didn't end. And why?
It didn't, because of a very generous corporate partner in our community, and that's Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas.
They rescued people.
They rescued people. But you know what? We are very slow learners because God has done this for us every single time.
Always comes through, doesn't
it? We've always been kind of like, and he just kind of ups the ante, because I think sometimes he's just sitting up there going, okay, watch this one.
Yeah. And sure waits a long time sometimes, though, doesn't he?
He does. He wants to make it absolutely known that this is really all about him.
Yeah. So. Well, speaking of those partners, and thanks to Blue Cross Blue Shield for investing a lot of money to be able to get the food to us. And again, we're not charging overhead on this. This is all coming out of general funds at Topeka Rescue Mission to be able to do this. So this is just paying for food.
Right.
The government's not paying us any money.
Right.
We're just getting the food the government buys from the farms.
Absolutely.
And so it takes a lot of volunteers. And some of those 90 groups, we get a chance to know quite a bit, and some we get to know real well. And we have a guest here today who's one of those 90 groups out there. Yes. And when I say groups, he represents some other people. And Sean Hall. We met it 2 or 3 years ago now, of all places, a casino.
Yeah, now imagine that.
Let me clarify. I was a speaker at their convention to the AFL-CIO on the Rescue Mission Human Trafficking, and the follow-up speaker after me was this professional chef by the name of Sean Hall. And as I'm leaving the building, he's coming in.
Yes.
Apparently he had heard what I'd said before. And he says, can you just stay for the first 5 minutes of my talk? And so when I heard him speak, and that's a whole nother story that we've talked about in the past, I was like, I got to get to know this guy.
Yes.
And so
praise God.
We had Sean, welcome here this
Thank
morning.
You.
We had you on In Darkness, the Light Still Shines, our YouTube broadcast that we had for a while about stories. And that was a pretty powerful experience.
Yes.
what stuck out to you when you did that recording with us?
Mostly the grace that God placed on your heart, and the hope that I grasped hold to through that testimony and sharing my testimony, and just how God showed His presence, and that was the biggest thing that I held on to from that conversation. It was just amazing. That our paths crossed at that time, and that you had this platform to where we could sup, and I could lay these things at the altar and leave them there with the Lord, and He did the rest.
You know, it was a powerful a time together there that day, and we got you there for your testimony, and I knew that you're a professional chef.
Yes.
And you tell us a little bit about your experience in the area of food services, and where all has that been before? We're going to talk about two things with you today, Office of Food Security, and then something else, kind of a special announcement.
Okay.
But talk about your chefism.
Chefinism.
Yeah.
Well,
what does that mean?
I'm actually an executive chef by trade. I worked in one of the biggest unions in Las Vegas, the Culinary Union. Mm-hmm. I ran a culinary facility that was a training center for the union. In that, we were responsible for training the employees for the culinary union. So we trained front of the house, back of the house. That's food service, different departments. And we also served the back of the house and trained for people to go to work in the hotels. And in that, we've trained fry cooks, saucières, garmagers, and pantry workers, and sommeliers, and all
I
these
got the
different...
fry cook part. I'm not sure what the other stuff means.
Well,
like
you
McDonald's?
Know, it's a little past McDonald's, but you know, we even had some Diamond Star facilities under our toolage, and during my 18, 20 years doing that, we've probably trained over 500,000 students. We were my department, which I headed, was over $4.5 million in food and another $1.4 million in beverage. Had 136 employees, but we teach that the kitchen is from the ceiling to the floor. So that was kind of the concept, that the responsibilities of food service. People think it's just cooking, but it's way more than that. It's receiving, it's service, it's attentive to detail and so many other aspects. It's just more than being a cook and working over the stove. Mm-hmm. You know, so we kind of give the student an opportunity to see the whole production. And that's what I specialized in. But I've also worked in buffets where we fed 12,000 people a day. And if you can imagine walking into your oven as opposed to opening the door, that's the kind of operations that we had. And steamship rounds as big as this table, and being able to place these racks and ovens and let them rotate. And you're cooking, when you're the bacon cook, you cook bacon for 8 hours. and so we've done things like that with production. So also have a very extensive catering background, and the equivalent of catering, 1 year of catering is equivalent to 3 years of work experience. Mm-hmm. And because there's so much detail and knowledge that has to go along with taking food to people. Mm-hmm. And overall, the whole food operation, like there's so many avenues that can be taken from that. And you know, Jesus took food and look what they did with him. You know, they followed him and he opened up doors and got people to listen. And so food has also opened doors, and it's kind of brought us here today. And
sure has.
Yeah, yeah. And it's all through food, and it's all through some of the talents God gives us. And you know, that's my biggest thing about food, is that it can change the life of the person that is preparing it. Food can take a sheep herder, you know, and turn them into a king through Christ. Mm-hmm. And it just gives people a chance to be redeemed. And you can't discriminate against a plate of good food.
Well, that's for sure. I never will. Yeah, I can discriminate against certain plates of food, but not a
good food
plate.
Good
food. That's right. It's always good. Well, Sean, you heard about Operation Food Secure.
Yes.
We were doing, and you decided to get plugged in. What are you doing with that, and what's that mean?
Well, when I heard about Operation Food Secure, it was in the height of the pandemic when it first hit, mm-hmm. and actually, everything had shut down. The culinary program that I run had shut down, and I was at home, and like everybody else, and we had been in this quarantine for like 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and I was just asking the Lord, like, I need something to do. I need something to do. I feel like I'm not sowing, you know. I had nothing to sow in, and I got a call saying, hey, you want to be involved with some food? And I was like, yes. And I didn't know any of the details. And when it first started, we were going out and passing out boxes. We'd come and pick up 20 boxes in the church van. Mm-hmm. And that wasn't enough. We'd ride around in the neighborhood and just knock on doors or see people outside and say, hey, you need some boxes? You need some food? And people were so open to receiving these. And we're like, man, we got to get the word out. We got to, hey, how many boxes can you give us? As many as you want. You know, it was kind of like that at the beginning. And it was just such a blessing. So we ended up renting U-Haul trailers and tying them to the back of the trucks and bringing them out. And so we ended up teaming up with churches, mm-hmm. and other organizations. I go to New Beginning Missionary Baptist Church. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Pastor Washington.
Amen. Good friend.
Yes, he's a good man, good teacher. And so we started there, and then we made relationships with Pastor Clarence Newton and some other organizations, not only churches, but group homes as well, mm-hmm. and the Christian Neighborhood Center, New Life, New Hope, Mount Olive with their church and their organization. So we bring boxes to them, and then they take boxes and give it out in their community. So we're not only able to work in our little area, in our little compass, we're able to go out in the community. And what it's done is brought the churches from inside the four walls, yeah. and got us in the neighborhood, uh-huh. you know, what God instructed mm-hmm. us to do. So this COVID thing is
he's getting ready to preach.
I'm sorry, I'm rambling on. But the COVID thing, you know, it's really showed us how Jesus expected us to be and what he expected us to do. Amen. You know,
so what you got a lot of food you're distributing,
yes,
as volunteers,
yes.
and you've got a lot of connections.
Yes.
What about the people receiving it? What do you see?
Oh, my God. There's so many amazing stories. I stay in a neighborhood, and there's a lady that stays by me. Her name is Mother Jackie, mm-hmm. and she's really just become my best friend. Mm-hmm. And it's not due to the food. It's just the relationships that we were able to build through passing her the boxes. She's probably 80 or 60, 80 or or 86 or something like that, but she is still active. And but you know, she's prideful, and but she's opened her door to me in her heart. And you know, mm-hmm. I was able to take a peek in her refrigerator one day, and that's the only food that she had in there were from the boxes that we gave. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we didn't even have meat.
Yeah.
So you imagine this 86-year-old lady that's struggling to keep her lights on and her gas, and she's a widow, and she's prideful, and she's taking these boxes because we're leaving them at her door. But when she let us in, we seen her other needs, and she's just one example of that. But right now she's doing great. She's healthy. You know, they added meat to the boxes. And I mean, God just continues to provide and stack these blessings on top of blessings. And it's just like that all through our community. And what I really realize is that we're just really scraping the surface mm-hmm. with these four million meals, which seems like a lot. But if you really think about how many people don't know about what we're doing and how many people haven't we reached, the good thing about the food secure program is that it's unbiased. It doesn't discriminate. We're able to pass out boxes to the people in need without the shame of or the knowledge of people knowing that they're mm-hmm. suffering or hurting, you know. Mm-hmm. And so that makes it even better because we're not saying, oh, you don't qualify or you don't mm-hmm. you didn't sign up. And you know, we're going and saying, hey, you need, you know, we stop and get gas and have boxes on the truck sometime mm-hmm. and say, hey, you need some boxes, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're just
because we're right there at that place in
right
our country
there
right now
at that time.
Yeah.
And with the current climate of the nation and unemployment and so forth, you know.
So something I heard about that neighbor of yours mm-hmm. when you saw that she didn't have anything in her refrigerator mm-hmm. but what the food boxes were providing, you went the extra mile.
Oh yeah. Well,
and you didn't tell me this. Somebody else told me about what you did.
Yeah, praise God.
You didn't bang your own drum here. What'd you do?
Well, we went and got us some food.
What was in the box.
Yeah, beyond what was in the box. And the beautiful thing about this, you know, we've not only been able to do that, we've been teaming up with other organizations because at one time we thought these boxes were going to end. And so we took the most needy from our groups that we thought, and we connected them with other food distributors and like New Hope Food Pantry. And they've been teaming up with us, and they've been providing boxes of hygiene products and meat and other goods along with this. So, mm-hmm. I mean, even though we're putting out these boxes twice a month now and fulfilling a gap, there's still need. There's no way that we're going to fulfill every void, but we are definitely making a huge impact in our community. And what we're seeing is that people are looking forward to these boxes, and people are out waiting, and people are calling on Tuesday, hey, you got us on the list, and you know, and so forth. We get to build these relationships with people, and yeah. It's not through emails, and it's not through text messages. It's through phone calls and knocking on doors and knowing who's in the house. And, you know, it's just relationships that we build.
It's a relationships. And, Miriam, that's the thing that we were thinking. Yeah. This could be really a relationship builder.
Absolutely. In my mind, and what we had talked about in the very beginning, and, Sean, I think what you're absolutely confirming is the food is really just a tool.
Yes.
It's not the end result. The end result is these relationships mm-hmm. that are being built, mm-hmm. whether it's the relationships like what Sean was talking about with him and other churches mm-hmm. or with Sean and other volunteers and the recipients, or it's helping churches
yes.
build relationships within their own community that they may not have otherwise. So Christ used food as a vehicle,
yes.
and we are too.
And, you know, relationships are always difficult when we don't understand somebody that's different than us. But yes. this is bridging a gap between a lot of differences here that people would have never come together.
Right.
But yeah. they're coming together now. And what an important time for us to come together
right
now, because we're not seeing a lot of that on a national level, from a political level, but yet at a neighborhood level, we're seeing it happen right here. And if there is anything redeeming about what's going on in America right now, it's something like this.
Absolutely.
Yes. Something like this.
Absolutely.
Well, Sean, I want to switch gears.
Okay.
When you were on the broadcast that we had. It's been a year and a half ago, I mm-hmm. want to say. After we got done with that, you really felt like the Lord was wanting you more involved with TRM.
Yes.
And that was kind of an emotional moment that we had together, and we've just been praying for a long time about this. And so the announcement is you're kind of excited about this, aren't you? But the announcement is you are a staff member at Topeka Rescue Mission.
I am, praise God.
And you started less than a week ago.
Yeah, this is going to be huge news for some people. But, yeah. A shock.
So we had the unfortunate passing of Mike Schenkel, who was our director of food services for over 20 years.
Yes.
We've talked about Mike before. What an incredible saint of God, a pastor, a leader.
Yes.
You couldn't, talk about somebody who resembled the walk of Christ. It was this guy. Well, he's walking with Christ now, right there with him in the heavenly realms, but it left a gap here. And we're so thankful that our kitchen personnel who would have been working under Mike's direction did step up to the plate and has carried the ball forward. And but we were saying, okay, Lord, who do you want to bring in as our next director of food services? And because you felt like you were supposed to be here, and because of your already known experiences because professional five-star hotel chef and all that kind of stuff. We said, I wonder if a five-star hotel chef could be the chef of Topeka Rescue Mission.
Yes.
And you said, yep.
Yes.
So what does this mean to you?
Oh, my God. I cannot even begin to express my joy in the opportunity. God has placed being a servant on my heart,
Amen.
I was trying not to cry, but
you got about a full box of Kleenex in front of you, so go ahead.
I do. But God has just placed the desire to be a servant, and what better place to serve, and I'm not trying to go back to the food secure program, but it reminds me in the Bible of the story when the famine was coming, and God had told them to put the food in the storehouse, and they were wise stewards, and that's what the mission is. The mission is wise stewards with what they have, and that's why God has continued to bless the food secure program, And I never lost any doubt. When they said the boxes were going to run out, I sent an email to Marissa, and I said, no, they're not. Just call me when they're back up and running, because I know God has his grace all over this place, and I want to be in his number here at the mission, and I am just so elated that we are going to be able to build up what Mike has started here at the mission.
You have built a program, that is training people how to be professional chefs, and how to do hospitality work. I don't know really what the right terminology. And God laid on you a model to do that, and you've been doing that.
Yes.
But you said that you were going to give that up to do it here.
Yes.
Topeka Rescue Mission.
Yes.
Talk about that.
What we've been doing is the Hospitality Incubator Program. And what we do is develop entrepreneurs and culinarians to be above entry-level food service. Mm-hmm. And what this does is create jobs and careers for people. A lot of people get at a certain age, they look down on fast food service and stuff like that, and they think that's the only way that we can get into the food service, but there's so many other avenues. We've had students that have started their own baking companies. We've had students that have started their own catering companies and equipment and doing party rental stuff. And so there's so many different avenues, and somebody's, they're doing holiday gifts, baskets, and all kind of stuff, and cakes, So there's just so many different avenues, and all of them that are currently in business are licensed and paying insurance and still thriving in a pandemic. So God has covered them during this as well. And it's just they're providing jobs and job opportunities. We got one that's got a staff of two or three people that is doing her own thing, and that's Chef Harper's Shopper's Kitchen. Send a shout out to her. But she's just amazing in what she's doing, and we've had graduates that have become sous chefs and just embraced Christ in a whole, So it's just with the food and the opportunity and the resources, you just don't know what we can build. And Mike left us a great platform to build upon, And so we're already in service. When the program first came to me and I was given the desire to do it, I brought it here to the mission, but it wasn't the time. Mm-hmm. And that's been over 4 years ago. But through faith and works, you know, you just you never stop. You never give up and you never quit. And God will continue to open doors and tear down mountains and for you if it's his desire for you.
Yeah.
And that's what he's done. He's just created a place where I can use those talents and pass them on to the staff and the potential future students that we're going to be training.
It's actually here. Not only just serve meals here, take care of all this, but train people how to be professional food service workers out of the rescue mission. You know, Miriam, that takes our education program to the next level.
My God.
To a whole new level.
Yeah.
Right? To a whole new, whole new level. And when we think about our desire to bring hope to people, think what this would do.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's not just about working at McDonald's. I mean, this just opens up this whole new world to them.
And wait until we get into catering and doing events, because we got the we got every tool that we need here. And we got people. We got the people that have been healed and out of their brokenness and want an opportunity to get back into society.
You know, it's exciting about that because we know our public here who supports Topeka Rescue Mission is they want to do everything they possibly can to help out, but they don't always know what to do.
Right.
And just to think about someday, not yet, but someday we will have a potential catering offering out of Topeka Rescue Mission that could actually be at your business or your church or your event or whatever that is helping in homeless folks to have a job.
Yes.
And I've seen some of your catering stuff because we did a little contract work with you before you came on board here. Now we're not going to pay anymore. So it's all for free.
Yeah,
and
praise
so
God.
That praise God. You forgot about that part, right?
No.
Because you, we own you. We own everything.
Yeah,
now,
yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
It's, we're all in this thing together. But no, it's good stuff. I mean, it's great food. It's great presentation.
Yes.
It's all of that. And you've already made one change in less than a week in the kitchen, and that's how you address the cooks. What are you calling them now?
I'm calling them chef.
Chef.
And they're loving it, and they're eating it up, and they're taking pride, and they're going the extra mile and going to the store and purchasing items that we may not have here at the mission because we are always in need of donations. You can always contact the mission and drop off donations of food and produce and butter and milk and dairy and we're always in the need of that and meat. And so in that, we can utilize these products. But our staff that are currently here, they're doing the extra mile and wait until we get them in uniform and everybody's, you know, taking pride in their appearance and in their position. You know, there's a lot of pride in this.
That's
and
right.
So when we're able to serve the residents here, they're going to be able to see the potential of what they can be, and then they're going to get involved.
The other thing I was just thinking about as you were talking, it's like it also shows how much we care for our guests.
Oh, my God.
Right? So here we have this very professional staff
that
is serving them.
Yes, that is serving them.
Serving them, exactly. And what that will mean to them. Exactly.
The meek will inherit the earth.
Exactly. Yeah. And what that will mean to our guests. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Sean, when you came, again, it's been less than a week.
Yes, sir.
But there's one thing you did find that was very refreshing to you amongst the staff.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Well, I found several different things. The most refreshing thing is the spirit in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that they're singing. I got a video. I got a video of them singing gospel music and doing this duet in the kitchen. And I'm just like, oh, my God, you know, praise the Lord.
Yes.
You know, praise his holy name. And it's just phenomenal that we have the opportunity and the platform to be worshipers of Christ in our workplace.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, so through all things, Christ Jesus. So that is this is the perfect place. This is the perfect place for me. I don't know about you, but this is the perfect place for me.
Oh, Sean.
And I am so excited about what is about to happen here. And I'm already 2 and 3 years ahead of where we're at right now.
Sean has a disease. It's called visionitis.
Visionitis,
And so, but it's a great disease to have.
Yes, you know, praise God.
As I'm listening to you, it's like, I don't know how we will ever, because I have only been here 4 years-ish. Mm-hmm. And what you just described, it's so hard to describe to other people how you feel Jesus when you're here.
Yes.
And why this is such an amazing place.
Yes.
because you feel Jesus.
Yes,
right?
He's here.
And,
he's
and
alive.
So it's great to hear you express that,
yes,
because it's something I've tried to share with people so much and just yeah. said, I don't know how to tell you.
Right.
Y'all just kind of have to come,
you come
and you have
see
to
it for yourself.
It.
Come
exactly.
and witness it. Because you're set apart, and, you know, and yes, you know, it took tragedy, but, it, you know, God's will is something that we can't understand, but we can definitely feel
yeah.
his will. And we get pushed a lot of times in certain directions, but we got to make sure that we're listening to him
yes.
and not our own desires.
Right.
And so one thing when Barry and I were sitting here talking prior to, accept, you know, getting the position and accepting it, he says, you know, you got to put your own desires aside mm-hmm. and you got to make sure that these desires are for the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't even, you know, I'd already did that. You know what I'm saying? I had already put my desires because, you know, I want, you know, I've been behind because I've fallen, you know, I'm a fallen being. I'm a fallen man. So, you know, I trained. I made $100,000 a year for the Culinary Union, you know, in 2009. And so I had a pension and a 401k. And so I've fallen. I lost all that, you know. And so my desires personally would be to catch up and be back on my pension and be able to, you know, make some money and buy some land and all these other things. Those are my desires, you know. But God's desires are to be a servant for me. And I'm willing to do that. And I'm open because that stuff that I want is for this minute moment, mm-hmm. you know, just here on earth. But he's promised me an eternity.
Yeah.
An eternity. That's where people got to get it. They got to get it together because this eternity promise is way more than you'll ever. This is all the heaven you're going to get if you don't love the Lord. This
yeah.
is all the heaven you're going to get is here on earth.
Yeah.
And so I don't want that.
Yeah.
I don't want that. That's not my desire.
Yeah.
My desire is to be in the kingdom in this mansion with many rooms and be flexing with my crown on, you know? That's my desire.
And the kingdom can be experienced here and now
yes.
in a whole different realm. You know, Miriam, you talked about when you came here 4-ish years ago and Sean talking about that spirit of the Lord, you know, my coming here was, yeah. God, where are you really in the earth today?
Yeah.
You know, I can read about you, I can hear about you, but I want to see where you are doing what you do like is in the Bible
yes.
right
yeah.
now. And you know, I think of the scripture, and I don't even know the location of it, but this is what the High and Holy One says, I live in a high and holy place, but I also dwell with those who are contrite and lowly in spirit.
Mm.
So here's God on his throne,
yeah.
dwelling there in the heavenly realms, but he also dwells with those who are contrite, lowly in spirit, the broken. What does that contrite mean? That means yeah. brokenness.
Brokenness.
Yeah.
Where do you find a lot of brokenness? Well, you find it all over the world.
Yes.
But one place you find it is a homeless shelter.
Yes.
Topeka yeah. Rescue Mission. You find it in the homes of people who are
yes.
hungry. You find it in the places where people have been assaulted, abused, domestic violence, trafficking.
Yes.
You find it in just these areas where there's control over other people,
yes.
drug addiction, alcoholism, brokenness, brokenness, brokenness.
Yes.
And God doesn't say, well, you know, I live in a high and holy place, and that's where I hang out, and so we'll see you later.
Yeah.
He says, no, I'm going to be with you here, and that's what yes. you experience, Sean, when you come to a place like
yes.
this and what people experience. You can't really describe it other than be around it, and you go, what is this?
Right.
What is this? Because this is not where I would probably want to be, but I want to be here.
Right, right.
It's not the land. It's not the $100,000
right.
paycheck. It's not all of those kind of things,
right.
but what it is truth.
It's yes. truth.
And it's fulfillment.
It's mercy
mm-hmm.
and grace.
Mm-hmm.
Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Grace that he puts in, you know, through it. What I've learned in my life and my walk is that he places grace through other people.
Mm-hmm.
And the brokenness opens up that door mm-hmm. for where you can receive his grace. You have, you know, a lot of times mm-hmm. we have to get to this point to where we have nowhere else to turn.
Mm-hmm.
And that brokenness just opens up this door and heals you immediately. It's not a, oh, you got to wait 6 months. You got to fill out an application. It's immediately his love and his grace, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's in this promise. And it's the being saved, not from the penalties of what we've done, but for the consequence, the penalty of the sin, which is an eternal life, eternal death. So. It's just heavy and it's just mind blowing. It's boggling, but it is real. God's hand in God's blood still works. He is just, you know, even through a pandemic. Mm-hmm. Even, you know, let me go back how God's been working in my life, because, you know, my story from the podcast, but I hadn't seen my mom mm-hmm. in almost 8 years, you know, running the streets and whatnot. And it took a hurricane for her to come to Topeka, you know. Mm-hmm. I drove a church van for the, you know, for the longest, for that you gave to the, to my church, mm-hmm. and my church let me use it, mm-hmm. and it was able, I was able to cater and cook and do all these things out of this church van. And it took a pandemic for me to get a truck, and it's taken a virus for me to get here to the mission, you know. And I have to look at how God's working in my life. Yes. And see all these other things and all these other, you know, things are happening, but God has still covered me in his grace. And right. and not because I cook and give away food, not because I help people, not because of any of that. It's because of his grace and his mercy and the blood. Else there was no reason for Christ to die if I didn't have the opportunity to believe in him and receive all these things.
Well, you've walked it. Yeah. And now you're walking it, and you're around people who are in their journey
yes.
here at the rescue mission that need to know that yes. there's people who have gone before them,
yes.
and they've walked the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, like Jesus did. And
praise God. Mm-hmm,
yeah. So, but it's not a life of hopelessness.
No.
Right.
It's a life of hope that not just about after here,
yeah.
but while we're here on the way
oh,
there.
Yeah.
And so that's what we can give people
yes.
hope about. And
oh,
in the
yeah.
meantime, we get to cook really cool food.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And, yeah, we're looking forward to that. And and all the things that that God has gifted you with, Sean.
Yes. Praise yeah. God.
We're excited that you're on board with us here at Topeka Rescue Mission.
I am so thankful.
Sean, welcome. Officially announcing to the whole world in the
yeah.
universe right now that you are our new food service director.
Wow.
And we're looking forward to some great things. We want to have you back here on updates and
yes, sir. Yes,
sharing
sir.
The testimonies of what God has done.
We're going to bring some students back here in about 6 months.
Okay.
And
right.
sit down and see what they're where they're at and what they've accomplished.
That would be awesome.
That would
Amen.
Be great.
Praise
that would
God.
Be awesome. Yeah. So anyway, thank you for listening to our community, our mission today. We've talked to Sean Hall, Executive Chef Sean Hall, Director of Food Services here at Topeka Rescue Mission. Less than a week now, but we've got some great things coming up here in regards to what we believe God is going to do. Miriam Crable, thanks for updates today on Operation Food Secure
My pleasure.
Everything that we're doing. If you're interested in more information about Topeka Rescue Mission, you can go to our website at trmonline.org. Expect a new look on our website here in the next hopefully 30 days or less. It's going to be pretty cool and some opportunities on that website, but it's trmonline.org. If you'd like to text to give, you can use your phone or your device to text TRM Give to 77977. Text TRM Give to 77977. Thank you for your support, and thank you for listening to our community, our mission.